time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. He's not Rocky Balboa, but a reasonable facsimile. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello, Eric.
Yeah, I'm more a reasonable facsimile of that piece of meat that he goes after. That's, man. So, folks, I originally had asked for polka music. You might have noticed that wasn't polka music. We have things to celebrate.
That's right what I said to
downtown.
I said to Carrie, this must be exciting news.
It's exciting news. I just came back from the eye doctor with several eye drops, and I'm pretty sure I can see interstellar dimensions. No, that's not the news.
No.
That's the truth, but it's not the... This is the news, folks. The U.S. and the European Union have finally reported to suspend tariffs for 5 years. That's right.
Oh.
That's right.
That is beautiful news indeed.
It means... Finally, that poor, poor man, Michel or Laurent or whatever, in that little village in France can buy his Harley Davidson again. Also, it means that the price of your wines is going down. I know that sounds weird for a guy like so wrapped up in commerce to like these, but I thank God. Come on, people.
It's good news for everybody.
Fantastic. It really is. It really is. Especially, let's be honest, since this was over aerospace. I mean, this was just spite tariff, you know?
Yes.
Spite taxes. Nothing makes you want to drink more than spite taxes.
So what you're saying is that maybe working with our allies is a pretty good idea for everybody?
It's a thought.
Wow.
It's a thought. Anyway, let's see where it goes. I have good feelings, and perhaps it will usher in a new era of us being reminded what diplomacy is about.
Imagine that.
Wouldn't that be nice? But hey, no, seriously, folks, that's really good news, because this has just been, 25%, honestly. I don't want to suggest revolutionary terms, but, we did throw tea into the... Boston Harbor for a reason. Let's be honest, people. So, brighter days ahead, I like to think. Certainly for me, because my eyes are dilated, so everything's just bright as hell. So, originally, as I said, we were going to talk, I had asked for polka intro music, because we're talking about Germany today. And I love Germany. I love talking about Germany, because as much as we talk about why everything is in French and why the wine world kind of got classified and all this and codified in the monastic cultures of France, it took the Germans to really take it to a Teutonic level of classification. So I want to kind of run over, because anybody now, I will admit, in the past 10 years, because of, I would like to assume, the next generations taking over these estates, you are starting to see German wine labels that actually say things that you can understand. But you will still see the classic German classification language, which is just, it's baffling, which is funny because it's, ultimately, and this is the truth. This is not to put down the German language, but I was just laughing the other day with my father. And we are of German descent. Of how he bought me for my birthday a German Black Forest cake, right? And he was teaching my family how to say Schwarze Walde Kirschtorte, and basically, I was saying what that means is dark forest cherry cake. You know, it's like whatever we have, we're just going to string all the words together, and that's what it is. Which in and of itself makes perfect sense. It just makes for very long words. But it really is, ultimately, if you can speak German, it's the most clear in their minds of all wine classification systems, because they tell you in painstaking detail exactly what the heck it is. However, most of us don't understand what it is. So I will try in a couple of minutes to sort of figure it out for you. the German wine classification system puts a strong emphasis on standardization and factual completeness. I like to sort of put it that way. First implemented in the German wine law of 1971. Almost all of Germany's vineyards are delineated and registered as one of approximately 2,600 what they call Einzellagen, which are individual sites, and that individual site can be classified, right? That's part of the factual completeness. And the produce from one can be used to make wine at any quality level, and we'll get into what quality level is, and it depends not on the yields but on the ripeness. And that's a big part of the German classification system because, of course, we're going from sort of just ripe grapes to the famous, you know, ice wines and Bier Nachlese and things like that, which are very late harvest, which means the sugar content is much higher. And, of course, the ripeness can vary tremendously because Germany is still, even despite the global warming, one of the most extreme of grape-growing regions. So the category, the quality levels, it's kind of a misnomer because it's not necessarily due to its quality, it's due to a sugar content. It's determined at harvest, it doesn't determine the sugar content in the final wine, it depends when it's picked. It's a measurement we call Brix. And thus any wine can be categories can fall into what we call dry, right? A dry wine, which is called trocken, or halbtrocken, which is off dry, half dry. So from there, you get into the level of ripeness, and the level of ripeness starts at what we basically, you know, there's other wines that you can find there in country, but the stuff that's kind of, you know, exported here to the States. We start with what we call the QBA. This is a quality wine from a specific region, Qualitätswein bestimme Anbaugebiete. This is from any one of the 13 wine growing regions, which is the Anbaugebiete, that's wine growing region, and that must be shown on the label, which where it came from. It's sort of a basic level. It's every day. What I wrote here in my notes is quaffing wines, right? Fairly low levels of ripeness, must be at least 7% volume by volume, but of course that's, you know, you often see what we call a chaperalization, which is legal in this particular one. That's the adding of sugar to boost that. And those can be from dry to semi-sweet, and the style is often on the label, along with that designation of Qualitätswein and the region, and that's all required because Germans. The next one that you start to see a price jump as well as a quality jump is called a Prädikatswein, which was renamed in 2007 the Qualitätswein mit Prädikat, which basically means it's quality wine with what's the old fashioned southern term? Bonafide. It's bonafide. Right, he's got his bona fides. That's what this is, basically. It's a superior quality wine. And this is where we start to get into terroir, and, you know, it cannot be chaperalized. That's sort of an important, this is where we start to get into, like, no, seriously, you can't just add sugar and pretend it's good. whereas, you know, some of the German wines that kind of gave German wines a bad name, you could. These, again, can range from dry to intensely sweet, but it's going to usually at least contain a little bit of residual sugar, if not a lot. And it must be produced. Now, this is where we start to get into allowed grapes. Now, there's a lot of allowed grapes in Germany, but, you know, we're talking your Rieslings, your Müller-Thurgaus, your Dornfelders, your Pinot Noirs. You know, the grapes that had been determined to grow best there, which is sort of an outreach of that Burgundian ideal of this grape grows well here and this grape doesn't. And then you start to get into terms like cabinet, which means literally cabinet. What it essentially means is a reserve quality wine meant to be kept in the vintner's cabinet. And then you get to And these are usually dry and kind of crispy. Nice acidity. Then you have Spätlese, which literally means late harvest. A lot of people think that that's sort of the ultimate expression of German wines because you have the blend of liveliness with the sweetness. Auslese, which means select harvest. This is from the very ripe hand-selected bunches. Typically, Ausleses really are. We are not talking dry anymore. These are sweet or semi-sweet. Sometimes they do have what we call noble rot or botrytis, which we talk about in Sauternes and in ice wine. Sometimes you'll see that happening in Auslese because that's not necessarily a symptom of the wine. That's because that particular type of rot is happening in that vineyard, and because that's a desired thing, they keep it. And then you get into Bieren Auslese, select berry harvest. So you've already gone through that Auslese harvest, and now you're taking literally individual grapes that you think are going to be the best that are affected by noble rot, botrytis again, and that's always a dessert wine. You'd never see like a 750 milliliter of beer in Auslese because it would be hideously expensive. And then the next one from there is Trockenbier in Auslese, which is select dry berry harvest. These are overripe, shriveled grapes, almost like, in Amarone, how they dry out grapes. That is literally like the hardest thing in the world, except for ice wine, which is not that they freeze the grapes, but that the grapes have to be naturally frozen on the vine, must reach the same level of sugar content as in a beer in Auslese. And it is like, this is the thing where they like set alarms and it's like, okay, this is happening right now. Everybody up at 2 a.m. We're going out to harvest right now. And they're not cheap because of all those things. The amount of liquid that you get from these grapes is minimal. So when people ask me about the price of true ice wine and their eyes go wide, that's why folks. And just, it's just out there. Just so it's one of those things that you have to put a lot of labor of love into to make a bottle. So I'm sure I'm running out of time. So that is your German overview. Tomorrow, or rather next week, we'll talk a little about Austria, maybe Hungary, which is coming onto the scene. And in the meantime, I hope everybody's well. I heard the vaccination numbers. Keep telling people to get vaccinated. People, we're so close. We're doing well.
Hey, we got a little something for you, though, because we didn't do it at the beginning. Can we?
Yeah. Oh. Well, that is good, yeah.
There you go.
Very good. Very good. Hey, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next week. And on with the Papa.
There you go. Although a slightly different version. We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right. Why don't you call
my name? That's going to wrap it up for first hour. Eric Meehan, Message in the Bottle, Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.